Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We're in the middle of the singles winter weekend out here. A lot of single people, really excited people out here right now on the campus. We have one of them staying at our home, and it's been great to talk with him. It's going to be interesting to see all the activities this weekend and a really lively scene here on the campus when we're all off of work and trying to enjoy these activities. When the Worldwide Church of God founder, Herbert W. Armstrong, died in 1986, his successors quickly tried to obscure the truth about church eras. Mr. Armstrong had always taught that he was the physical head of the sixth church era, the Philadelphia era. You can see all seven of those eras listed in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The reason his rebellious successors didn't want to focus on church eras anymore was because the era that came after the Philadelphia era was called the Laodicean era. And God had a lot of correction to give the Laodiceans there in Revelation chapter 3. Today we'll talk about chapter 3 of Malachi's message. Chapter 3 of this book is titled Laodicean Era. Let's understand a little bit about what God says about the Laodiceans, what Mr. Armstrong said about the Laodiceans, and what Mr. Armstrong's rebellious successors lied when they talked about, or how they lied when they talked about the Laodiceans. Here on page 32, Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry writes, "While Mr. Armstrong lived, the works of the WCG were a strong standard. After he died, that standard began to be compromised. In the Pastor General's report of January 3, 1989, Mr. Takach made a strange statement, contrary to what Mr. Armstrong always taught." Here's what Mr. Takach said. It is simply not biblical to say that the best spiritual state is the state of being Philadelphian, and that we should all strive to be Philadelphian above others." That's the lie. Here's the truth. This is what Mr. Flurry writes on page 33. "Why not? With the Philadelphian attitude, a person will be taken to the place of safety and given rule in God's headquarters temple forever. The Philadelphia and Smyrna eras are the only church eras God doesn't criticize directly." So if you have seven church eras and God has pretty strong correction for five of them, that means you only have two church eras left with good traits that you want to try to emulate. Clearly, those were the only two church eras that didn't go off track. Those are the only two church eras we should strive to follow. Those are the only two we should be picking from when deciding which standard is the best standard. And of course, under Mr. Armstrong, God's church had the greatest work ever. By far the most people reached. By far the most powerful message. It should be pretty plain to us that we should be upholding that same standard today. But Mr. Takach wanted to move away from the Philadelphia standard. He knew that he was rebelling against what Mr. Armstrong taught. And he didn't want to talk about that seventh and final church era that came after the Philadelphia era, this Laodicean era that got its focus away from the spiritual truth of God and onto material physical things, onto greed and selfishness. He didn't want to think about the fact that what he was doing in destroying God's work was actually fulfilling the prophecy about the Laodicean era. Here's the real definition of a Laodicean. Let's see whether being a Laodicean is better than being a Philadelphian. Since Mr. Tkach says that being a Philadelphian isn't necessarily the best thing. Page 33, Mr. Fleury writes, "The Laodiceans don't want to follow the Philadelphia standard. That is precisely what a Laodicean is, a person revolting against the Philadelphia understanding. That is because they want to be the standard. They are too often setting their own standard. A Laodicean is nothing more than a person who strives to get the focus off the Philadelphia attitude. That is what makes a person Laodicean." Let's go back to another lie that Mr. Joseph Tkach told after Mr. Armstrong died. Here's something he said at the 1989 Feast of Tabernacles. "A Philadelphian spirit is one excited about the work and filled with energy. The Laodicean is the opposite, no drive and no energy." In other words, Laodiceans are lazy. They're like slugs. They don't have any ambition about anything. And like Mr. Fleury says here, sounds good, but is it biblical? God says a person can have zeal, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10, verse 2. So a Laodicean actually can be very ambitious. In fact, they can be extremely ambitious about being rich and increased with goods, as God rebukes them for in Revelation chapter 3. They can expend a lot of effort and energy and be really excited about all of the wrong things. They can have tons of zeal, except for that zeal is misdirected. And like Mr. Fleury says, even Satan is filled with energy and drive. So it's not a lack of drive. The Laodiceans oftentimes have tons of zeal when it comes to worldliness and material things. You can go up a level too and even be an antichrist where you actually actively fight against God's truth. Those people are extremely zealous. Those people find out what's going on in God's work mere minutes after it's announced. And they'll attack it as hard as they possibly can. They have a lot of energy when it comes to opposing God, fighting against God. But just because they have drive doesn't mean they're right. Their drive is focused 180 degrees in the wrong direction. So again, a Laodicean merely tries to get the focus off the Philadelphia standard. Doesn't mean they're lazy at all. They could try really hard. They could work really hard to get the focus off the Philadelphian standard. Some more truth here about church eras, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but even before Mr. Armstrong died, they were talking about how a separate government would have to come out of a church whenever it goes off track. They understood this by looking at church history. So, if we're looking at the eras, and we go from the sixth era, the Philadelphian era, to the seventh era, the Laodicean era, you're actually going from a group of people who are on fire for the right things to another group of people who are not quite as excited about those right things. The Philadelphians were in charge of that sixth era. Mr. Armstrong was leading using the Philadelphian standard. But then the people after him rebelled and they destroyed the work. They had that Laodicean mindset. They didn't want that high standard anymore. They didn't want to live according to God's law anymore. So when those people become the majority, when those people are in charge, the few people left who actually want to stay loyal to God must come out. They can't stick around in that church if it is actively fighting against God? On page 34, Mr. Fleury writes, if the Laodiceans are in control, it is the Philadelphians who must start a new organization or pull away and continue the old organization by reestablishing the Philadelphia standard. It all gets right back to that. That Philadelphia standard of fearing God and fellowshipping often with one another, like we talked about last week. Fearing God enough to step out in faith, even if it means losing our jobs and having no money, like Mr. Fleury had to do. And really, that was unlike any of these other leading ministers who tried to start their own groups coming out of the Worldwide Church of God. They didn't step out in faith. They didn't fear God enough to obey immediately. They tried to set up their own escape plan. Page 35, Mr. Fleury says, remember, these are carnal-minded people with their minds naturally on physical things. They are spiritually blind. He's talking about Revelation 3, verses 16 through 17. Here's what God says about the Laodiceans. Just listen closely to this rebuke. It really is chilling. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Again, they do have a lot of physical riches, riches that they reaped from the work under Mr. Armstrong. The work that they quickly destroyed, but not before they reaped almost $1 billion more by deceiving the membership into believing that they were still doing the work. About $1 billion more came in the span of just 5 years after Mr. Armstrong died. What did they do with all that money? They turned inward. They focused on the college. They pretty much got rid of the Pasadena, California campus, shifted to the Big Sandy, Texas campus, consolidated their operations there, focused on working more with their congregations instead of delivering a warning message, the gospel message of hope of the kingdom of God to the entire world. So if they're not focused on reaching billions of people anymore, they obviously don't need as much money. And yet, they had $1 billion to work with in 5 years. They were certainly rich and increased with goods, physically. At the same time, they were poor and naked spiritually. That's the way God describes them. It doesn't matter to God how much money we have if we're totally rebelling against him. Mr. Fleury talks about the fruits of God's work. Sometimes, despite how great the work might be, it could even be declining in numbers. Maybe the membership numbers are going down, and yet it could still be God's work. We have to realize that reaching the world right now is pretty difficult because there are so many distractions out there. Watering down God's truth, making it more palatable, removing the corrective aspect of it, would probably reach a lot more people. But those aren't the real fruits of God's work. We don't judge that based on membership numbers. However, you can judge the fruits based on the different branches of the work. Right now, God's work is breaking through to Jerusalem in a big way, the very spot where Christ will return to rule. There are so many different departments to this work. numerous publications and radio shows and a TV program. There's the Key of David for most of the world. And then there is a specific Key of David program for the United Kingdom and Europe. Two different versions of the same TV program. The church has a private plane. The church hosts personal appearance campaigns all over the world just to give this message of warning and hope to as many people as possible. Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine subscribers can go. They can visit Mr. Fleury there at those meetings. They can hear an urgent message, a message about action. Now, these are real fruits we're talking about. Two college campuses where the students work 20 hours a week during the school week, 40 hours a week during breaks to support the work. And if they didn't support the work, those college campuses wouldn't exist at all. The college program would not exist. It really is about doing the work, getting the message out there, like Mr. Armstrong said, to the largest audience possible. Those are the real fruits. We don't judge it by membership numbers. We don't judge it by how many billions of dollars we can hoard, like Mr. Armstrong's rebellious successors did. There's a lot more important things than that. Here's a really fascinating spiritual parallel on page 37 of Malachi's message. Historian Edward Gibbon wrote, "Among the Greek colonies and the churches of Asia, Philadelphia is still erect, a column in a scene of ruins." So you see these parallels. The seven church eras are named after actual physical locations along a mail route in Asia from thousands of years ago. And it's saying that the location, Philadelphia, is still erect over there, like a column in a scene of ruins. Where all of these other church eras are gone or destroyed, the Philadelphia era, or at least the Philadelphia remnant, the few loyal people who are left, remains standing like a pillar. Mr. Fleury says here, "God has given us an exalted standard. The Philadelphia spirit will never be destroyed. The Philadelphians are to be pillars in God's temple forever." You can see that in Revelation 3, verses 11 and 12. God says, "Let no man take your crown." And if you do hold fast, like we talked about last week, you can be a pillar. You can be right there next to God, ruling at universe headquarters from Jerusalem for all eternity. Again, if you hold fast. Revelation 3, verse 21 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Oh, excuse me, that's Revelation 3, verse 20. That's talking about Christ. He's on the outside of this Laodicean church, and he's knocking. He wants to see who will actually open the door and listen to him. Mr. Fleury writes here on page 38, it says, "If any man or any individual hears the knock and responds, he or she will be led out of the Laodicean church. Salvation is not a group affair. Each one of us has the individual responsibility to respond or not respond. Following Christ is an individual matter. Being in a church can be meaningless without this understanding. Christ is knocking on your spiritual door. How will you respond to Christ?" Revelation 3, verse 20, that's coming right after God's correction for the Laodicean church. But it shows that God still hasn't given up on them yet. Sure, they have rebelled, but there's still time. 30 years after the start of the Philadelphia Church of God, for those people to repent. There's a really interesting description here of Malachi 4. And it does help us understand some of the time frame here. Malachi 4, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, if you know the time sequence, you'll understand that the Great Tribulation lasts for 2.5 years. The Day of the Lord lasts for 1 year. And yet there's a very important reason why this verse doesn't say that Elijah or Mr. Armstrong would come before the Great Tribulation. Here's what Mr. Fleury writes on page 43. "Because there is still much that is left unfinished about the Elijah work. All of the Laodicean churches reject Mr. Armstrong as being the end time Elijah. When we reach the great and dreadful day of the Lord, all rebellion from God's church against the Elijah work is removed." This does help us understand some of the time sequence and how there does have to be a work that comes after Mr. Armstrong and continues warning these rebels. And God is so patient that even through the 2.5 year Great Tribulation, he'll still keep trying to reach the Laodiceans. And in fact, there will be 144,000 of them who repent during that time or at the end of that time. And just to prove themselves loyal to God, they will have to die for him during that 2.5 year Great Tribulation. And finally, they'll be sealed. Finally, they will have proven their loyalty to God after decades of being spiritually asleep. God does clearly lay this out. There's so many details in this chapter, and I would urge you to study it. Chapter 3 of Malachi's message. Learning about the 144,000, learning about the great multitude, which is actually a different group of people. They won't have to die in the Great Tribulation because they'll read our message. They'll understand it for the first time ever. These aren't people who were in the church and rebelled. They're understanding God's truth for the very first time in the Great Tribulation. And at the end of that time, they'll get to leave the Great Tribulation and be protected from the day of the Lord. Mr. Fleury points out here that the only people who don't receive physical protection are those who had God's seal or who made a covenant with God and then rebelled. This great multitude, we don't even know how many people it will be, but just people who might have heard our message before but never actually taken action, never actually entered God's church. But once they see all of these prophecies come to pass, the very suffering that we've warned about come to pass, they will understand it is time to take action. And they will be protected once they repent. Even during the Great Tribulation, they'll have a chance to see our message, gain hope from it, and make a real change and be rescued before that 1 year day of the Lord starts. So yes, they will have to go through the Great Tribulation, but they'll survive. God offers that protection to anyone who didn't rebel. Again, those people are understanding God's truth for the first time. They never rebelled against it. They're finally understanding it for the first time. Here's what it says on page 44. "Those who are loyal to Christ and what he taught through Mr. Armstrong are called Philadelphians. Those who are not loyal to these teachings are called Laodiceans. The Laodiceans must admit that they have rebelled against what God taught through Mr. Armstrong and repent, and then die to prove their conviction to God." So there is some really sobering correction here, but God is extremely clear about the time sequence. And he is clear about what must be done to avoid suffering, and if mistakes are made, how we can rectify those errors and still get back on God's good side, be protected, or at least earn some kind of a reward. Those Laodiceans who do die for God in the Great Tribulation will have a reward as first fruits, but they just won't be at God's headquarters forever. It'll be a lesser reward, but still certainly worth whatever the price. So today we've been talking about chapter 3 of Malachi's message titled Laodicean Era. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.